All right, so we're going to do like a little bit of a Sukkot recap. The following three shaylos came up over the yontif of Sukkot. One night, I was sitting in my sukkah eating dinner with my children. I did not have my phone with me, and my wife comes into the sukkah, and she says, it's important, you need to come inside. I said, well, what's going on? Someone in my shul, unfortunately, had just lost a relative, a brother of two of my shul members, actually, a brother lost a brother on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. So they had all sorts of shailas that came up. Here they are in Onain on Sukkot. So I went to the house right away, and the children were inside the house. They didn't want to be, crying in front of the children or whatever. They didn't want the children to be hearing about all the plans and all the discussions. So the husband and wife, the man who lost his brother and the woman who lost her brother-in-law, were sitting in the sukkah. And the first shaila was, are they allowed to be there? Right? Meaning, is an onain permitted to sit in the sukkah? Now, this is somewhat of a high-stakes question, because it's not just is an onain chayiv to sit in the sukkah, because an onain is not just potter for mitzvos, an onain is usher to do mitzvos. Certainly, an onain is not allowed to do los haseis, you can't just order a cheeseburger, but mitzvos hasei. So what about the mitzvah of sukkah? Is the onain allowed to be in the sukkah? So that was shaila number one that came up over Yantiv. Second shaila, on Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Mori V'Ravi Reb Schechter. I was talking to the guy that produces the Headlines show. He lives in Lakewood. His name is Benjamin Neustadt. He said, you should know, people in Lakewood call you Mori V'Ravi. I said, oh, I'm so honored. He said, no. Not because you're the Rebbe, but because you always say Mori V'Ravi. So, like, we make fun of you. That you guys, I'm like, oh, okay. I feel less good. But anyway, I don't know what's so terrible about saying Mori V'Ravi. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with Mori V'Ravi Reb Schechter. And cool things happen when you hang around near him. So he got a phone call while we were there from a rabbi in Brooklyn. And the rabbi in Brooklyn had the following shaila. A family in a shul has a daughter who is single and getting older, meaning she's getting to the point where she's nervous that if she doesn't get married soon, she's not going. Her childbearing years are going to be over. So what did she do? Without asking a shaila, I don't know how from this young lady is, but so without asking a shaila, she went, she got, she went to, she got donor sperm, and she became pregnant. She wanted to be a mother, and that's it. She's going to be a mother even though she is single. So now she's pregnant, and just after she becomes pregnant, she meets the man of her dreams. And she wants to marry this guy now. But now she's pregnant with the donor sperm, but now she wants to marry this guy. So what's the problem? You know what the problem is?
She married to that guy, the donor sperm person?
No. It's an anonymous donor sperm. Does that guy know she's pregnant? Yeah. She'll tell him. It's not a mekachta. She'll tell him. There's a beferisha gemara. It's a brisa. In Maseches Yevam Staf Lamed Vav, that tells us Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. No, not 3 months. If you think of Havchana, so there's a Beferish Gemara that it's osur to marry Meinekas Chavero or Meuberes Chavero. That if a woman is pregnant with someone else's child or nursing somebody else's child, you're not allowed to marry that woman. And the Gemara is clear. You're not allowed to marry that woman until the baby is 24 months old. She's considered Meinekas Chavero, even if she's not actually nursing, until the baby is 24 months old. So the shaila now is, the rabbi was called by the family. The family wants their daughter to get married. They're so excited she finally found, her bashert. But she's pregnant, but there's an isser. So he was asked to be Masadar Kiddushin. So he called Rav Shachter, he asked her if he should be Masadar Kiddushin, or if this is an isser, if this is a violation of Lifnei Iver. So, as Rebetzin Shachter said, 21st century shailas. These are 21st century shailas that come up. So that was shaila number two. What? No, we're not going to. I don't think she was thinking about aborting the child, but that would not be appropriate either. You have to realize everyone agrees abortion is an issue. The question is if it's threatening the mother's life, if it's, well, that's not even much of a question either. The question is if there's some major, major lachat, there's some major, major, issue. But everyone agrees that under normal circumstances, it's absolutely us to do an abortion.
So maybe.
So we'll have to see. That would not make a difference. No. But in terms of this shaila, we'll have to see if you choose the shaila. Third shaila that came up on Erev Sukkis. A guy told me that he was in Florida for Yontif, and on Erev Sukkis, his kids were going swimming. Someone was supposed to be watching them, and was watching them, but his two or three-year-old son, the guy didn't remember how old his kid is, but two or three-year-old son got out of the pool, had to go to the bathroom, took off his floaties, went to the bathroom, came back into the pool. The person watching them didn't realize that the kid had gone out of the pool and had taken off his floaties. He jumped right back in. Lamaisa, he was pulled from the pool unconscious. He had to be pulled out of the pool. He was unconscious. He was drowning. The miracle of miracles, they got him back, and he seemed to be okay, and he only had to be kept in the hospital for observation. I say miracle of miracles. The sheriff told the father, this is the third call I got this week about a child that was pulled from a pool. This is the first one to survive. That the other two didn't make it. So miraculously, the baby, the child was okay. So now it was Erev Yontif. The kid was in the hospital. They said, look, we can't send him home yet. There could be secondary drowning. We have to keep him for observation. For that, meaning there still might be water in the lungs that could still. So we have to keep him for observation. We have to keep him for at least 24 hours. And he's a little kid, so obviously someone's got to stay there with him. So the father was going to go home on Erev Yontif, take a shower, get ready for Yontif, and switch off with the uncle, who's going to stay with the kid in the hospital. So here was the situation. Father had gone home to take a shower, get ready for Yontif. The uncle was with the kid in the hospital. The uncle is in very good shape. The hospital is about 6 miles away from where they're staying. The uncle is a very fit fellow, and he doesn't mind walking, and he's perfectly good with that kind of walk. The father, not so much. Is not so willing to walk 6 miles, or able or whatever to walk and he doesn't know the neighborhood that well. He could get lost, so not so much. Father would not walk. So the father has two options now. Option number one is leave the uncle in the hospital for the beginning of Yontif. So the father, when Yontif starts, will be able to make kiddush in the sukkah, have a motzi, have a suda in the sukkah, and then he'll take an Uber or a taxi to the hospital. The uncle will walk home from the hospital, and the uncle will also be able to eat in sukkah on the first night of Yontif, and everyone will have the mitzvah of sukkah on the first night. The other option is the father takes the taxi back to the hospital before Yontif, so the uncle can get home in time for Yontif, and the father will just be in the hospital the entire first night of Yontif, and will not have the mitzvah of sukkah, because the hospital does not have a sukkah. So what's his better option? He wanted to know, is it better for him to just go and be in the hospital the entire time, or is it better for him to get the mitzvah of sukkah on the first night, even though that means that he's going to have to take a taxi on Yontif to get to the hospital? And let's assume him walking to the hospital is off the table. It's not an option. So given those options, what's the better option? That was his shaila that he was thinking about on Erev Yontif, as his child was just miraculously, Baruch Hashem, saved. So, okay, three shailas. We have an onen in sukkah. We have the woman who got pregnant and now wants to get married. And the onen in sukkah. Two. Okay, everyone wants two. I figured you sort of would. So, okay. I sort of figured you would. Right, okay. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara tells us that Muberes Chavero. Ditanya. Lo yisa adam uberes chavero menakas chavero. A person is not allowed to marry someone who is impregnated by another man, nor someone who is nursing another man's child. V'im nasa yotzi. And if they do get married, they have to get divorced. V'lo yachzer olamis. Can never get married again. Divra meir. V'cham omrin l'cham say, no, that's a little harsh. This is a din d'rabbana. Yotzi v'lo yachzer olamis. No, yotzi. Ulkshi gazman alichnos yichnos. Get divorced for now. And when it comes time that she's going to become mutter, then get married. When's that time? 24 months, because a woman is considered muberes for 24 months. What if a woman's not actually nursing for 24 months? Still, she's considered meinekes for 24 months. I said muberes. She's considered a meinekes for 24 months, even if she's not actually nursing. There are some poskim that say that a woman for the first 24 months after having a baby, even bizman hazeh, should not fast the minor fast days, even if she's not nursing, even if she's Rav Willick always tells. I know when we started the shul, there were a number of women in our community who had moved from Riverdale. When they first got married, they lived in Riverdale. So the shaila they had was whether they had to re-ask the shaila. You know, they got their psak for the first 24 months. They're good. They don't have to fast any of the minor fast days. So based on the idea that she's still meinekes. The Gemara Masechet says discussion. What makes a menekes is, meaning what makes the woman have the status of a menekes? Is it nisparku evarela, that her body had suffered the trauma of childbirth, and to fully recuperate from the trauma of childbirth, it's 24 months, so not really about the nursing per se, just more about the event of childbirth? Or is it about the actual nursing, and that the nursing weakens the body? So Rabbi Willig was willing to rely on the shita that it's about the trauma of childbirth, at least when it comes to fasting, the minor fast days, as far as that is concerned. So Ravadi says the same. Yeah. So that now over here it's a bit of a different halacha. What's the reason for this halacha? What's so terrible about marrying a woman who happens to be pregnant, or about marrying a woman who happens to be nursing someone else's child? So the Gemara explains in Masechet Yevamah Membeis and Beis that the reason for the iser is that if she gets remarried while she's still nursing her baby, she might get pregnant while she's still nursing her baby, and then she's going to have to stop nursing. And that baby is going to be neglected now. Her first baby is going to be neglected because her new husband could care less. It's not his kid. So that baby is going to be neglected. It's pikuach nefesh. And therefore, we don't want to risk her getting pregnant while she should still be nursing her baby. So you understand why this is going to be halacha that's going to apply for 24 months, even if she says, no, it's okay, I'll wean the baby off. After 3 months, after 6 months, it's fine. No, it's not fine. That's exactly what we're afraid of, that you're going to start weaning the baby off prematurely because you want to get married and you want to move on with your life. It's exactly the whole concern over here. The whole concern is that you shouldn't do that, that you should take care of the baby. Now, granted, standard practice, I think, nowadays is way less than 24 months. How long does somebody nurse for typically nowadays? So, 9 months. But I think that there are stories of a variety of gedolim. I think the Brisk Rav and others that used to say a bracha before nursing from their mothers. You know, the stories either about how long they nursed, but more likely stories about what geniuses they were. That, when they were 11 months old, they would say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech, put on their hat first, Shak Bol Mi'Avdvaray, right? And then they would nurse from the mothers. So even though that's standard practice, but for 24 months she's still considered a menekes. It's interesting that the Rambam gives a different reason. The Rambam says Shema Yilochi Tabalas Uber B'Shas Tashmish, that if she's mu'uberes, we're afraid. The concern is that the tashmish with the new husband is going to affect the child. It's unclear why the Ram says this, because the Gemara is pretty explicit already that that's the same reason why meinekes is aser, why a nursing mu'uberes is aser. Because you know what happens after a woman is a mu'uberes? She becomes a meinekes. She becomes a mommy. So the svara for mu'uberes chaveru, for being pregnant with someone else's baby, is that it then transitions into menekes chaveru. For some reason, the Rambam gives a different hesber. Not abundantly clear why the Rambam gives a different hesber. No, that's the din of havchana. That's when you don't know. If you don't know that she's pregnant. In this case, we know that she's pregnant, right? There's no doubt. It's clear that she's... Well, then you wouldn't be allowed to adopt, and then you wouldn't be... No, we don't have any such concerns. We assume that if it's vaday at the beginning, then it's going to be fine.
So would that idea that
many women
don't nurse altogether?
Many women don't nurse altogether. So let's see. Let's get into it. It happens to be, Rav Shachter told us, Rav Salvechik held that even a married woman who has fertility issues, the husband's sperm is not getting her pregnant, and gets pregnant with donor sperm, that Rav Salvechik held she might be asura labayla, because she's also Mugar's Chavera. Meaning even if they did it as that's how they did their fertility treatment, that would be also. He said when they were learning Yevamos, somebody mentioned that Rav Moshe held that there's no Mamzerus with artificial insemination. So Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik said, good enough, let's not learn the Sugya then. Meaning he Dafka didn't want to look into the Sugya La'alacha because he was afraid that he might come out differently. And if Rav Moshe said, then Rav Moshe said. And you know, you could always rely on Rav Moshe said. Rav Shavta told us that when Rav Moshe passed away, Rav Tendler gave a hesped, obviously. And Rav Tendler in his hesped said that you should know the reason we always pass on like Rav Moshe is not because he was such an overwhelmingly unbelievable tzaddik, and not because he was such a gon olam and whatever. It was simply because his psukim are correct. Everything he says, his rayas are so good, his rayas are so strong, the way he reads a Gemara, every raya that he brings is mamish glat. That's why we pass like him. So Rav Shachter said that his impression was that the exact opposite is true. This isn't the first time Rav Shachter and Rav Tendler disagreed, but he said his impression was that the exact opposite is true. He said Rav Moshe's svaras, Rav Moshe's rayas from Gemaras, you could definitely take issue with a lot of his rayas and with a lot of his way of thinking on many issues. In fact, Rav Shachter didn't mention this, but there are entire tshuva svarim dedicated essentially to doing just that, even though they don't say that. But what is the Tzitz Eliezer? What is the Mishnah Halachos? What is the Ber Moshe? It's pretty much, showing that there's room to disagree with Rav Moshe. These were all contemporaries. None of them were Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was Mishichmo Lamaylo Mikol Ha'am. There's no doubt and no one ever debated that. None of them were Rav Moshe. But, in terms of, some of the details of the Jews, Rav Shach said the reason we pass on the Rav Moshe is because you have to assume that a tzaddik like that, and a gon like that, and someone who knew every prima gadam bal peh, and someone who had such incredible Torah knowledge and such tzidkus has siyata d'shmaya. You have to assume that he has siyata d'shmaya in getting the correct psak. So that was an interesting read on different takes on why it is that we pass on the Moshe. But anyway, getting back to our story, Shulchan Aruch Evne Ezer Simin Yud Gimel Seif Yud Aleph says the Shulchan Aruch Gazru Chachamim Adin Drabanan Shelo Yisa Adam Blo Yikadesh Muberes Chavero. Not only not to do Nisuin, not even to do Kiddushin on Muberes Chavero. Discussion in the Rishonim. Let's say you did Kiddushin. Do you have to divorce her from Kiddushin, or can you just wait on the Nisuin? Right? What would be the svara to say not to divorce her after Kiddushin? And therefore? In what regard are you not her husband? Of course you're her husband. Can't be with her anyway. Kala bli bracha asura lebayla kenida, the Tosefta says. So she's asura to you anyway, even as even after kiddushin. So there's no as an arusa. So there's no need. But other rishonim say no. You violated this halacha. You have to get divorced. Okay, fine. A person cannot be mekadesh. Cannot do nisun. Velo me nekes chavero ad shia levlad chav dalil chadoshin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, 24 months old. Kafi Masha Kovin HaKadoshim Echon Mali Vechon Chaser. 24 months is measured by Jewish months. Chutz Miyom Shinol V'yom Shin Skachibah. V'chodesh Ha'ibur Ola L'minyin Chav Dalet Chodesh. If it's a leap year, that you get 13 months in 1 year, you only have to do 11 months in the next year. You don't have to do 25 months if it's a leap year. Says Ramah, V'yeshom D'l'charchil Yachash Afil Chodesh Ha'ibur. Wow! That she's a Meinekes for 25 months because it happens to be a leap year? So how do we understand that? Okay, Truma Sadeshan says like this. Bein Shi Almana, key line. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is Machlokes Rishonim. It doesn't matter who the father of this child is. Bein Shehi Almana, Bein Shehi Grusha, Bein Shehi Mizana. Whether she became pregnant because she was married and the husband died, whether she became pregnant because she was married and she got divorced, or whether she became pregnant simply because she was Mizana. This halacha applies regardless. Some Rishonim disagree and say that no, not when she was Mizana. This halacha is about an almana, that's where we have such a concern. Why would there be less of a concern by others than there is by an almana? What's the whole concern? Everyone's going to neglect this child. But if the child has a father, then it's not so easy to neglect. Someone's going to advocate on behalf of the child and say, well, wait a second, you can't just stop nursing this kid and leave the kid by the, you know, and cast the kid aside. But if she's an almana, then we have to be concerned. The kid relies on her. She's all he's got. Right? But the Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't matter. Almana, grusha, mezana. Then the Ramah says, v'yesh lahakel b'mufkeres l'znos. If she's a bad enough person, then maybe we could be mekel. Here's one, you know, chote niskar. Why? If she's mufkeres l'znos. If when she fills out, profession, you know, on her application for whatever profession, she writes zona, right? She's mufkeres l'znos. Such a person, she's allowed to get married, even if she's pregnant. She's allowed to get married within 24 months. Why? Kidei she'er baila mashamra. The best chance of her changing, cleaning up her lifestyle is getting married. We'd like such a woman to get married rather than to stay single. Halacha pesukah in Shulchan Aruch. Wow. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is key, afilu nasna b'na l'mineakas, ogam malta b'toch chavtal l'chodesh, even if she gave her child to a wet nurse, or she weaned him within 24 months, lo tinase, you can't do it. If the kid died, rachmana l'tzlan, then she can get remarried. Why? Shouldn't we be concerned that she's going to kill the kid so she can get remarried? No, that far she won't go. To not feed him as much, you know, that she might do. But to kill the kid, I mean, come on, she's not crazy. That far we don't go. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Wow. So does this still apply bizman hazeh? It seems that it absolutely still does apply bizman hazeh. And the rov rubam shel achronim poskei zmanenu all assume that this halacha absolutely applies. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in very strong lashonos that if we were to tell her that she's able to get remarried if she stops nursing, she'll do whatever she can to show that she doesn't need to nurse anymore after a very short amount of time. Klal Gadol, Chazal give us that you have to be careful about this, and that a woman might come to neglect the child. And there are Chashulchan writes, Chazal levad godel kedushasam chachmasam b'toras Hashem, od ho yoser gedolim b'chachmos hativim, ubi yediyas ha'olam yoser mikolam eschakmim lohashiv al divreim ha'tahorim. That as great as Chazal were in Torah, they were greater in psychology. And if that's that, what Chazal says is the psychology of women, that's what it is. That's somewhat of an interesting statement, no? Greater in psychology. And does psychology never change? Is that what he's assuming, that psychology can never change? You know, Soloveitchik very famously made a very big deal about the fact that the Chazaka that Chazal have, Tav L'Mesav Tandu, Mil L'Mesav Armalu, is timeless, that it doesn't change. What's the Chazaka Tav L'Mesav Tandu, Mil L'Mesav Armalu? That a woman would always prefer to be married. And she'll marry beneath herself, meaning she'll marry someone who's not quite on her madrega because she's just happy to be married. She'd rather be married than not be married. So there are those that wanted to argue, doesn't apply nowadays. And that chazaka is very nogeya to heteragunos, very nogeya. So someone wanted to say many, many years ago that chazaka no longer applies and use that as a svara for heteragunos. Not going to get into the details now. Rav Soloveitchik held a public drasha. We have notes of it that are written up. I think there may even be a recording of it. It was at an RCA convention, I think, where he said that this is ridiculous. We absolutely cannot disregard a chazaka of chazal. And I might as well stop teaching gittin. I might as well stop teaching kiddushin. I might as well stop teaching ksuvas, because all these chazakas, you're going to tell me that we could just throw all Torah Shabbat away? This chazaka cannot change. So Rav Shachter said that people misunderstood Rav Soloveitchik. They said that people understood that Rav Soloveitchik holds that psychology can never change. That human psychology can never change. So that's not true. Human psychology can absolutely change. Human psychology as described in Parshas Bereishis cannot change. That which is built into the Briyas HaOlam, right? That the fact that a woman has a tshuka for her husband, that's in Parshas Bereishis. That cannot change. But human psychology in other areas maybe is subject to change. Right? That's how he explained Rav Soloveitchik's approach. Very, very interesting. Right? Meaning, you would imagine that on a purely logical level, that this should be able to change. Right? It says the Aruch HaShulchan. No, if Chazal say something, they're greater masters of psychology than they are masters of Torah.
Wow.
And if they said that, psychologically speaking, that's what a woman's going to do, that's what she will do, and therefore it's going to be Asr even Bezman HaZeh. Nevertheless, there is a minority view in Poskim that at least used as a sniff lahakal that Nishtanu Ativim. And things have changed, nature has changed. So, okay, keep that in the back of our minds. But it doesn't seem that that's certainly a mainstream approach. So where are we right now? You have to advise this rabbi. Can you be a Masada Kedushin? Right now it's not looking good, no? Do we have any kulas yet? Nothing, right? We tried. We tried to say, oh, shall we wean the child off? No, that's good for the problem. But no, when nurses that long, doesn't matter. Shulchan Aruch says, Chavtal Chadashim, doesn't matter. You know, things have changed. Aruch HaShulchan says, no, a greater master of psychology than anything else. We've got nothing. Comes along, and by the way, Rabbi Kivager in the Tshuva. So the point was raised before that maybe if it's a non-Jew, it's different. Right, you raise it about something else, but still, if it's a non-Jew, it's different. Why? What does the Gemara say? That what's the lashon? Lo yisa adamu uberes chaveiro. Meinekes chaveiro. The non-Jew is not chaveiro. Chaveiro must mean a Jew. So maybe a non-Jew is different. Says Rabbi Kivager, nothing doing. A non-Jew is not different at all. Chaveros lav dafka, hu adina nachri, ksav sofer, also says, he says, zil basar taima. He says, think about it for a moment. What's the svara? That she's going to neglect the child. Why is she going to neglect the child? And Mukhi Yosef explains, she's going to be afraid to ask her husband, her new husband, for support for a child that's not his. And if the child is a guy's, isn't she going to be even more afraid to ask her husband for support for the child that's not his? So the Ksav Sofer writes, absolutely, absolutely not. There's no heter when the child is a guy.
No,
so
the child is Jewish.
What?
The child is only Jewish.
No, when the father of the child is a guy, I mean. No heter when the father of the child is a guy. You still have the same concern, and an even greater concern that she's going to be embarrassed to ask her new husband for support. So this is the cool part about sitting with Rashefti. He gets this phone call about this obscure halacha. I mean, come on, you guys are all B'nai Torah, have been learning for a long time. How many of you even knew this halacha? Right? Not so many. Even if you learned Yavamas, maybe, whatever, it didn't stick out in your mind. Right? And Rashefti right away says, Pischei Tshuva quotes a Nodeb Yehuda there. Look at the Nodeb Yehuda and call me back, see what he says. What? The guy calls back an hour later. I read the Nodeb Yehuda. Pischei Tshuva does quote a Nodeb Yehuda today. So, what does the Nodeb Yehuda say? Nodeb Yehuda Madura Tinyana, Ibn Ezra Siman Lamed Ches. Nodeb Yehuda was asked about a... Reading Tshuva Sfarim is fantastic. The cases that come up are just like... So there was a young man that was Meshudach with Meshudachas, with a young woman. And it turned out that it became evident that the young woman was pregnant. And she says, yeah, of course I'm pregnant, because me and my Meshudach, haven't been behaving, and I'm pregnant from him. And he absolutely denies it. He says, no way, it was not me, we never did anything, I don't know what she's talking about. Absolutely denies it. Still wants to marry her, though. By the way, when I mentioned this shaila in my shul, the shaila about the woman who got the artificial insemination and then met the man of her dreams, at least, Jews can sometimes be a little cynical. At least two people came over to me afterwards and said, I'm pretty sure I know who the father is. coincidentally, she met the man of her dreams right after she got pregnant from artificial insemination. Come on. That would obviously take away the whole shaila if he would claim to be the father.
Because he was saying before,
okay. Anyway, but then you get into that's a separate discussion that has to be had. To what extent yichus is at all affected by artificial insemination as opposed to not derech bia? Okay, Eretz Tzvi Siman Tazayin. Take a look. He has got a nice piece. So ultimately, they agreed to get married. And got to the point where the husband, the Meshudach in this case, was willing to swear that it was not him. And ultimately, though, they offered him a little more extra money for the Nadunya, and because they weren't going to let him, if it wasn't him, he can't marry this girl, right? He's, so the father, you know, beefed up the Nadunya a little bit, and his story changed, and now he says, oh yeah, I forgot it was me. Okay, so they asked the Nadbuta, can you believe him that it was him? So the Nadbuta goes into a whole discussion of the notion of a masla. Meaning, what's the notion of a masla? You have a sugi maseches ksubis. A woman says to her husband, by the way, you should know I'm a nida. And then like an hour later, the woman says to her husband, yeah, I'm not a nida. And was, well, and there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about this, by the way, in Yardaya, in Kupay Zayin, maybe Kupay Vav around there. So what do you mean you're not a nida? You just told me an hour ago you were a nida. Yeah, I wasn't feeling well. I just, you know, whatever. You know, she had some excuse. So what's a good enough excuse to assume that she was lying the first time and she's telling the truth now? Or a woman says, Eishes Ishani, I'm a married woman. I can't. And then next thing we know, she's going to a shadchan asking the shadchan to find her a shidduch. Well, the shadchan says, what do you mean? You just said Eishes. She said, yeah, did you see the kind of guys that were hitting on me? You'd say Eishes Ishani also to get away from those guys. Meaning there were these bad guys, right? Or the woman didn't say she's a nida. The Gemara talks about she's huchska nida b'shechenu seha. What does that mean? She wears big day nidos. It used to be, nowadays women are much more private about this. They don't go around advertising when they're a nida. They don't change their Facebook status, you know, when they're a nida. But it used to be that when a woman was a nida, she had to let the world know. Why did she have to let the world know? You better keep your truma away from her. You have to be careful of a Moshe of a Zav Anida, right? You have to Tumantara. You have to be very, very careful. So she would wear big day needles. It was like a scarlet letter. She would wear big day needles and let everyone know that she's Anida. So a woman's wearing big day needles, and then she tells Razim, "Nah, I was just kidding. You know, it's a Purim costume. You know, I'm really not Anida." So what's an Amasla? What's not an Amasla? So the Nodibuta goes into a discussion. Does this guy have an Amasla? I was just saying that because I was embarrassed. I was saying that because of this, whatever. I was trying to get more money out of the father-in-law. Whatever So Nadavida, first of all, says that, no, every time that there's an amasla that's acceptable, the lie was an acceptable lie. Meaning there's a good reason, it was halachically permissible for that woman to say that she's an Eishes Ish. To keep these awful guys that were trying to go after her away from her. So to say I'm a nida and they say, ooh, okay, I'll stay away, that it's worth it. You're allowed to lie, Mipnei HaShalom, you're allowed to lie in order to save yourself from what could be a very terrible situation. She was allowed to do it. This guy might have an explanation, but his explanation involves, yeah, I'm a Rasha. You know, when I lied in the first place, I was doing the wrong thing. That's not an amasla. No way. We don't find such an amasla ever works. Furthermore, says the Nadbu, the Odani Omer, we only find that an amasla works when that which caused the lie has now changed. Nothing changed in this case. What caused the lie by the woman? There was Anashim Sheinu Mehugadim. Now they're not here anymore. These bad guys aren't here anymore. So now something changed. Nothing changed over here. Nothing about the story changed. Absolutely no amasla. But says Nadavida, there's another reason. There's another reason that we might be able to be makel over here. Because let's say we believe the husband's first story, that she was impregnated by somebody else, wasn't him. Do we know who the guy is? We don't. It might be a Jew, it might be a non-Jew. Now, the Buddha says, Achidish Atzum, if it's a non-Jew, it's mutter. Why? So he starts by saying that you should know that all Rishonim agree that a Grusha, a Zona, have no chiyuv, no obligation to nurse the child. An Almana does. Because normally, who's obligated to support ketanei ketanim, to support young children? Whose obligation is that? Father's obligation. Okay, so the father has to see to it that someone will do it. So he should encourage his wife to do it. Normally she'll be willing to do it. If she's not, he's got to pay her to do it, says Nod Yehuda. But if she's an almana, the father's dead, then it's hers. It's her obligation. But if she's a zona, she's a grusha, she has no obligation to feed her children. So he says, that's why it would turn out that all of this, this whole idea of a grusha, and it's all a low plug, it's all a din drabana. The real halacha is about an almana, because that's really her obligation. Everything else with the grusha and the zon is just a low plug, midrabana. Good? Is it shaykh that she'd be an almana of a guy? Does that even make sense? Do the words make sense? That she would be ever be the almana of a guy? The words don't even make sense. Why not? Because what can she have with a guy?
Marriage.
It's not shaykh to be the almana of a guy. How can you say a low plug that a zona of a guy and a grush of a guy, low plug, this iser should apply when the very basis of the iser, which is almana, doesn't apply by a guy? And he says, chaveiro, it says chaveiro, so chaveiro means a Jew, it doesn't mean a guy. Wow. So, says another Yehuda, okay, but I don't know who the father is over here. We don't know who the... He says, so what is it? It's a suffix. So what do you do with suffix? Follow Rov. Right? Okay, and then he gets into a little bit of a discussion of Rov, where did she live, a Jewish community, not Jewish community, how many streets are there, how many people. He gets into some detailed discussion. Then he says, and let's say it's 50-50, it's mamish or suffix. So what do you say? Suffix d'rabbanan, the whole din is a din d'rabbanan, suffix d'rabbanan, l'kula. Then he says, because he's the Nodeb Yehuda, and he has the famous Chiddush of the Tzlach and Beit Tadav Beis, famous Chiddush, he says, Savik Drabban Lekula, there's an exception. We don't always say Savik Drabban Lekula. What do you have? You don't say Savik Drabban Lekula when it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. You don't say Savik Drabban Lekula on something that's going to be Mutter. Because Rashi and Beit Tzah says, the Svara is, just wait till it's Mutter. Right? Mukta. We don't say Savik Drabban Lekula. Because just wait till the Beitza is Nolda, right? The Beitza is Nolda on Yantiv. It's the beginning of Masechta Beitza. Beitza is Nolda on Yantiv. So I'm not sure if it was Nolda Yantiv or not. Savik Drabbanan Lekula. No, just wait till Motzai Yantiv and it will be Mutter. So you don't rely on Savik Drabbanan Lekula when you can just wait and it will be Vaday Mutter. That's the concept of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Says Nat Biyuda. This woman will be Mutter. All you got to do is wait 24 months. She'll be Mutter. You know, there's a discussion that some of the Achronim have. What if you're not sure whether you waited 6 hours? It's been 6 hours between since you last had fleishiks, and the Hagen Daz is looking really good, right? Not sure. So what would you say? Waiting 6 hours, din drabanan, savik drabanan, lekula. But on the other hand, davar sheyesh lo matirin. So the Nodeb Yehuda says, no, you have to know what I wrote in Tzlach and Beit Tadav Beis. That the whole idea that we don't rely on Savik Drabbanan Lekula on the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is only by something that you can only enjoy once. You can only eat the egg once. You can't eat it and then eat it again. You can only eat it once. So you might as well wait till it's Mutter. But what about something, to use this book? If you tell me it's Asur to use now, but it will be Mutter later on. Right? But you tell me it's Mutter to use now, I might use it now and later on. Right? I want to eat an ice cream cone now and have another one after 6 hours. Meaning there's an infinite amount of milchiks in this world and I want to have all of it. There, says another video, you're going to say something to Rabban Lekula even on a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So he says, by this Isha, you're going to say something to Rabban Lekula even on a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. That's another video who does unbelievable psak. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, what did Rav Shechter say? So at the end of the day, Rav Shechter told the rabbi he thinks he should be Masechta Kiddushin, since he should rely on that Nodeb Yehuda, especially since this woman clearly is not super religious, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if she's a type of person that you have to be choshesh, that she might be mezana, that she might live a lifestyle that's not so healthy, then it's better to get her married by Lamashamra, and Nodeb Yehuda holds the Seder Gam because it's a guy. So that's Rav Shechter paskin, that the rabbi should be the Masechta Kiddushin at this person's wedding. It doesn't always work like this. Someone came over to me and told me recently, with this will close, I'm sorry I'm going late, someone came over to me and told me that there was a case in not going to say where, but a case in a very frum community where Nebuch, a woman, young woman, went with her husband somewhere. She just had to run into a store or something, or run in to do something. Came out, she went in, did whatever errand she had to do, came out, her husband was waiting in the car. He had a massive heart attack. He had passed away. Very young woman. And she found out afterwards that she's pregnant. Tragic case. And then the baby's about a year old, right? Baby's, she went through the whole pregnancy, had the baby, baby's 6 months old, a year old, and someone mentioned a really great shidduch for her. And she wants to know, can she pursue the shidduch? I think the baby was 6 months old. Can she pursue the shidduch? You know, then you had her there. It's mamash almana, right? It's the case where there's no machlokas rishonim. It's the case of almana. Machlokas rishonim, but a grusha, a zona. Almana, there's no chaveiro, it's a Jew. Right? There's not much to... So sometimes there are these tragic, you know, very unfortunate cases. And sometimes there isn't a kula. But over here, Rav Shachter thought that there was what to be met with. Okay.